Well, my sister just handed me a prayer request that came on the internet. And it says, please pray for me in the name of Jesus. Please pray for me daily. Require spiritual healing to cure black magic. I am, and of course the name, from Chromapet Place. And I believe it's Chennai City, country, India. He's 34 years old. His date of birth is second day, 12th month, 71. Symptoms, rigidity on my head from the top and also body. And of course, because this comes from India, I need to remind you that many of these men sleep on little mats. So that should give you a clue of how the Holy Spirit works. He doesn't have a problem using a little group in New England to pray for someone in India. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, this word that you've given me this morning, only you can bring it to life. Only you can make it live and be an impact out of where they've lived to where they need to live. I ask this in Jesus' name. If you brought your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 19. And obviously, we're going to be looking at our Savior's actions and reactions. You know, yesterday was the last 2 days have been quite filled. My wife and I have a young lady that's been part of our lives since we both met. And one of her very dear friends has passed away on Friday night. And she was not that old. She has a family. And my wife and I were there till 1:30 a.m. Saturday morning. And by 9:30 Saturday morning, my grandson's wife called and said, we need prayer because her little baby niece that's was in a hospital in Boston and had all kinds of surgery and was very, very born with very many problems, including blindness and so on, went home to be with Jesus approximately 9:15 yesterday morning. So I spent a percentage of my day in the emergency area with a family that was broken because God had allowed a little child to be a part of their lives for a season and then decided to bring the baby home. And a lot of times we look at this and we say, why was that child ever born? This morning at 1 a.m., the Lord reminded me to get up. It was time to pray. It was time to take Holy Communion for that family. And I said, Lord, what do you want? What's the word? And he gave me Psalm 139. And it's kind of neat that I will be delivering that word not only to those that have lost the child, but it specifies that God ordains the number of days that you're to live in the earth. And there are no accidents with God. And if you follow by the Holy Spirit within you, and your spirit senses are developed, you're not going to be so focused on your flesh and what it dictates and wants and desires. So if you want to check out Psalm 139 at some point, you'll see that there's a day scheduled for you to enter this realm. and there's a day scheduled for your departure. And that's not a problem that maybe you have faced at this time, because you're still here and your body's reasonably healthy. But here's a 34-year-old young man here who's suffering, saying, what about me? So can we just lift our hands to him, meaning Jesus? And we're going to lift up those that are struggling, not only with death, but with bodies that are in torment because of what the enemy has done. So repeat with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We're claiming your word.
First Peter 2:24.
By the stripes of Jesus,
healing
goes to India as well as any other that I'm holding in my heart right now.
Those that I love.
Those that are hurting.
Physically and emotionally.
Let them receive.
By our faith.
This miracle this day.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Back to Luke 19, verse 28. After Jesus has said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and as he approached Bethage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, talk about a word of knowledge. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt. He doesn't say you might find a colt. He says you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Now I'm going to kind of skip over to the same passage in Matthew. So if you'll go to Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 21. The whole reason for that little piece to the puzzle was that no one had ever ridden this particular colt. Same scenario, Matthew's perspective. Verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find, notice, a donkey tied there with her colt. Now there's two. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't say that none of them or the colt had never been ridden. But you got it from the other perspective. With her colt by her, untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. Now, when Jesus gives a word of knowledge to his people, why do you think they listened? And why do you think they went?
They trusted.
Why?
He had proven himself of character.
3.5 years of training their spirit was now a reality that their spirit was alive. It was also a reality that this man was not like them, that he had things to teach them that they could learn from. How many are not reacting out of their flesh like they used to so quickly? Yeah, put your hand up. Because you see, you're not who you were. You're a different creation. Your inner man is now starting to control you, if you submit to him. But if you submit to your flesh, what are you going to get? The old and the old loves. How many have had a few old loves? Thank you. So now, verse 4 says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. On a colt, a foal of a donkey. the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on. My record is not broken. I'm just trying to give you understanding. Have you ever seen where in cowboy movies out west that they break a horse that has never been ridden, and you need to have a lots of patience and some good strong muscles? Amen? Do you ever try to see someone riding a bull? Alright? Do you think that they need to prepare? Have you ever tried to take a ride on a horse that has never been ridden? No? I remember my son and I, in the fall of each year, we used to go horseback riding. That was one of our rituals every year. And this one time, I had already warned, you know, the man who would rent us the horses, that we would take three horses, one for me, one for Irene, for Gary, and one for Rick. And of course, I would always warn, you know, please don't give us any wild ones. And so, obviously, this one year, I don't know if he remembers, but we had had one that was a little bit frisky and didn't want to behave too well. And you know what happens when you panic? Guess who gets the emotional backup? The one you're riding on. And we got tested a little bit, but we still had a good time. How did Jesus prepare himself to ride the colt that had never been ridden? What is the nature of a donkey?
Stubborn.
Why would it be prophesied even that Jesus would ride a donkey? Could you give that back, please?
We're stubborn just like
them. We're... Come on! Hey, wait a minute! What did you do, marry a woman that's stubborn?
Why did she say a we?
Is that a word of knowledge? We are stubborn. You're absolutely right. Just like donkeys. And it represents what's in us that looks like and acts like a donkey that has never been. Oh, really? How many have ever seen a little tiny piece of a donkey in them? Thank you. Oh, I feel so much better. You know, Pastor Yvonne, I'm so blessed. Because this man would definitely want to take you home tonight. All teasing aside, there's a message here. See, Adam, I shared with you last week, made a choice on... He chose to humble himself, walk away from God's commandment, not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he decided to die with his wife and eat of the tree that was forbidden. Amen? The second Adam, Jesus Christ, chose to die for his wife. Ephesians 5. So you see the difference between the two. The man of flesh, which is Adam, chose to just humble himself, listen to the woman, which was the flesh nature, the soulish part of you and me. That's the woman part of you and I. That which reacts to all the emotion stuff And I'm not blaming women. I'm blaming all of us. We all have an emotional side. Come on. We all have a reactionary side, which is the emotion, the woman in each of us. That's the soul, mind, will, and emotions. Now the spirit man is really the male part of every single one of his creations, male and female. So don't get confused when the scripture says that there is no male or female in the realm of the spirit. Okay? We are all one. But God wants to develop that inner part of me and you, which is like him, which is the spirit man. Jesus had developed his spirit, and he was able to overwhelm the wild, stubborn, rebellious mindsets of the animal kingdom and ride that donkey without any reactions. Why? Because he was the king of... He was the king of kings, but he was something else. He was also the king of peace. Amen? And when the peace that surpasses understanding sat on top of this wild beast, it blew all of that stubbornness right out of this young animal. And he submitted, and he let himself be ridden. You and I. If we submit to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, ride the donkey part of me. Oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that I have a piece of me that's like a donkey? Yes, we just admitted. We got a little piece of it. I don't know how big it is in you, but sometimes I see it pretty big in me. Okay? And what I'm saying to you is, without the King of Peace riding you and me, we're going to do it. Oh. And as you're doing it your way, what are you doing? You're anti-Christ. You're anti the anointing. Don't look for this incredible beast of Antichrist that's going to show up. He's already here. He's already inside of me and you. He said that spirit 2,000 years ago was already operating in men. Well, my goodness, I got news for you. It's still around. And I don't need to go to all the scripture, but I'm trying to show you something. The King of Peace can overwhelm this stubbornness that's in all of us. Amen? All right. The picture shows you something else. There are two. Yes? Who can tell me why there are two? It's the mother and the son. If it's the mother and the son, why did he choose both and ride them both at the same time? I believe he rode, a part of his weight was on the mother and the legs were on the child. Side saddled. Why would he take both at the same time? Because everything is established in two or three witnesses. He was trying to convince humanity that no matter how much of that stubbornness is in you, he can handle it. And whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter. Because he took care of both at the same time. And all of Israel was having a party that day. What were they doing? Go ahead, Eugene. Shouting. What were they shouting? Uh-huh. So there was a revelatory anointing upon the city of Jerusalem that day. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey, the colt, placed their coats on them, Notice them. And Jesus sat on, not one, them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and healed them, Elaine. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw and wonderful things he did, the children shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Did you ever try to make a dog that doesn't want to move, or a cat that doesn't want to move, on a leash, say "come," and they've got all fours like this? They won't move. They're indignant. Donkeys are no different, and neither are horses. Why? Neither are men and women when they won't have the King of Peace, when they won't let him come into their hearts and overrule their soulish nature. Nothing will change in you and me until we let him in. Nothing will change inside of your circumstances if you stay stubborn and stuck on your attitude. And I'm talking to me as well as to you. I'm not preaching just to make you listen to some words about self-condemnation and then for you to try to correct yourself. Because in my book, once a donkey, always a donkey. But the King of Peace can so fill you with his anointing that which you said you would never do, you're more than willing to complete and do quickly whatever God says. I remind you of Peter, who had an attitude. "I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never. And then, about 3, 4 a.m., "I never knew him. I don't know. I don't have a Galilean accent." Baloney. That's like saying to somebody that's born in Texas, "I don't have a southern drawl." That's what it was talking about. And he said he'd never, and he did. Later on, when he's ready to go home to be with Jesus, and he's been transformed, and he's submitted to the King of Peace, and they say, "We're going to crucify you." And he said, "Not the way you did my Savior. The only way I will be crucified is upside down." What happened to this stubborn Galilean? The King of Peace showed up one day and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And the rest is history. What am I saying to you today? Will you let the King of Peace come into your heart? Will you let him rule and reign in you? Will you let him be the king of your tomorrows and for this season of Passover. Submit to what he wants to the best of your ability so that the anointing can break the yoke. That which was will no longer be, but that which is will come to life in you. That is, within your very spirit is an ability to change from a donkey to a submissive son. In Jesus' name. Please. That's it. Would you lift your hands towards these palms, please? Repeat after me, Lord Jesus. We're going to bless these palms with your blood. We're going to sprinkle it over them. And where we take these, we'll bring forth. Wonderful deliverance to every home that it touches. That there will be the King of Peace to touch and to heal and to set free because the blood of the Lamb today sets them free. Those who are physically ill will receive healing. Those who haven't walked will walk. Those who haven't been able to move will be able to move because of the King of Peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And now, I want you to hold these over your heart. Lord, I'm expecting signs and wonders to follow. Where the King of Peace rules. And he starts with me. That stubborn nature. That part of me that's like a donkey. I release now. In obedience to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Rule and reign. With your peace, Lord. And show me where these need to go. So that I can obey. And the signs and wonders will go forth. Amen. And amen. May his anointing be upon you as you go forth in obedience. Share some love with one another. And God willing, we'll see you Monday night.